Today, could you tell about the beginning of the Illinois program? It starts 1976.
Well, the actual program began in 1976 when we sent the first group of students over. We had hoped to send a group actually in 1975, but that was the time of what were called the Nixon shocks, when there were problems that President Nixon set up with devaluing the dollar, and then there were also problems with oil embargoes. So for financial reasons, we were not able to send the group, send students in 1975, which is why it actually began in 76. But the origin goes back to the fall of 1969.
69?
I happened to be in Kyoto for a month with a group of 31 students. We were on a world tour. And I received a phone call one evening from someone I didn't know, who said he was Professor Masuda from Konan University and was interested in talking about possibly setting up an exchange program with the U of I. I wasn't able to meet with him then. We had to, my group had to move on. But we started corresponding. I think we may even have talked on the phone occasionally. And that was the beginning of what became the Konan program. Now, it took, 6 years before it, 7 years before we actually were able to send students. I went to Konan for a year in 1972-73. I had a sabbatical, and I wanted to do research, and Konan University was nice enough to give me a visiting appointment as a visiting researcher. And that gave me many opportunities to get better acquainted with Masuda Sensei, who really became one of my closest friends. And we were involved in many projects, not just the student exchange project, research projects and whatnot, over the years that he lived. And I got familiar with Konan itself, with faculty, administrators, and whatnot, and was able to carry that message back then to the U of I as we began here on campus to develop a plan for such a program. Nothing would have happened without the support of the Asian Studies faculty. And maybe I should say, too, that Asian Studies was only about 10 years old at the University of Illinois at that point. So we were still a new development. That was one thing. A second thing was that in the 1960s, 1970s, the university itself was just beginning to get interested in sending students overseas.
Overseas, not only for Japan, but other countries also.
At the time, in the early 1970s, there were perhaps three university programs sending students overseas. They were in Europe and in Latin America. There was nothing in Asia. So Asia was new, and in fact, some of the administrators were a little uncomfortable. They didn't know Asia as well. They weren't sure about how well the program would be received. Also, at that time, it was impossible for Americans to go to mainland China. Communist China was closed, so we couldn't. There was no way of even thinking about a program that would send students to China. And Korea and Taiwan, while people knew those names, knew they were countries, I think many Americans didn't have any sense. Korea and Taiwan were just not on the mental map for many Americans. So there was no thought of sending a program there. At that time also, this campus did not have any courses in Korean studies. That came later, even though there were probably several thousand Korean Americans living in this town by that time. You know, during the Korean War, thousands of Koreans migrated to Chicago
as immigrants,
and then many came eventually to other cities in Illinois, and of course throughout the Midwest. So there were a large number already here, but we had no program in Korean studies or Korean American studies of any kind. So if we were going to have a program in Asia, it would have to be Japan. The faculty were for it. And something else that was characteristic of the United States at that time, not just of here, but on this campus, as many other places, many other institutions in the United States, people in positions of influence and power, many of them were men who had been in the military during the Pacific War. So they'd had contact with Japan of a very special kind.
Uh-huh.
But many of them came out of that war wanting to see better relationships mm-hmm. with Japan and the United States.
So it means that American people had some memory about Japan, but through war. Not for cultural or the personal relationship with...
Well, it would be a whole nother mm-hmm. program. But you have to realize that for 100 years then already, long before the war, mm-hmm. there had been this kind of special feeling toward Japan,
mm-hmm.
just as there was a special feeling toward the United States in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
For at least more than a century, we've been kind of most favored nations to each other, or mm-hmm. most favored cultures to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Japan, anytime I'm listening to a talk show,
uh-huh.
and there's some social issue comes up,
mm-hmm.
almost the next thing anybody says is, well, what do they do in the U.S. about this?
Mm-hmm.
America dewa,
dosuruka.
So, similarly, there's long been a great deal of interest in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
more in, not so much in social issues, but in Japanese culture
mm-hmm.
and cultural heritage.
Mm-hmm.
So there is this special relationship that goes back a long time. But let's set that aside.
Mm-hmm.
The point was, many Americans came out of that war with the idea that, all right, it was terrible, but let's not study war no more.
Mm-hmm.
Let's develop a good relationship mm-hmm. with Japan. And it so happened that the dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences and the vice chancellor at that time both had special interests
mm-hmm.
in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
The dean, because he'd been a junior officer in the U.S. Navy
mm-hmm.
during the war,
uh-huh.
and on that famous picture, which everybody has seen, of the Showa Emperor in September 1945, signing the surrender agreements
mm.
with General MacArthur standing over him.
Mm.
Up, higher up on one of the higher decks is a young naval officer named Robert Rogers. And Robert Rogers, by the 1960s, was the dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences.
Illinois.
Here on campus.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
So he too had a special interest in seeing that we developed something
mm-hmm.
with Japan. So there was that background of interest and concern that I think wouldn't be present today.
Uh-huh.
So there were special things going on at that time,
mm-hmm.
along with students wanting to go overseas,
mm-hmm.
and faculty, certainly faculty like myself in Asian studies, wanting them to go to study overseas as well as on campus.
Mm-hmm. So Dean, and you have some memories about war and experience through war, but how about the students? At that time, students, they have no memory and they have no relationship with Japan.
But at one remove,
mm.
it was very interesting. Over the years that I taught courses on Japan,
mm.
in the early years, 1960s, 70s, into about 1980,
mm.
at the beginning of the term, I would always ask students, why are you interested in Japan?
Mm.
And many of them would say, well, my father was in the war. My uncle was in the war.
Mm.
I knew somebody who was in the war. But it was somebody else's connection to Japan.
Mm.
After about 1980, it began to be, well, I lived in Japan because my father was an American executive in Japan.
Mm.
Or I visited Japan as a high school student. It was a much more personal connection.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that kind of change going on, too.
But that connection, people had their father, their parents had the memory, that's not negative to Japan, but more friendly.
Very surprising. Over the years, I occasionally met Americans who'd been in the war or who had lost a father or a son or a brother or something in the war, who years later still did not feel very favorably toward Japan, but there were very few.
Mm-hmm.
1 in 100, 1 in 1,000. Overwhelmingly, the feeling was, let's get to know Japan better. Let's not get into these wars.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very positive feeling.
Positive feeling, why? By surprise. Mm-hmm.
Many Japanese may not realize that.
Uh-huh. But maybe the students from different departments, not only for culture, anthropology,
right.
But economic. At that time, students, about what kind of things they are interested in Japan? It's what, except Alex interested in J-pop.
Yeah, that of course has been a big change.
Mm.
Students now especially interested in manga, anime, and things of that sort, and know a great deal about it. No, the interest then were, there were two or three kinds of interest. One, of course, was, well, my father fought the Japanese, and so I'm interested in who these people were that my father fought. That kind of interest. A second interest was in martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
Big interest. And thirdly, then, in the Japanese artistic heritage.
Oh, is that traditional?
Yes, traditional. You know, Ikebana and
Ocha.
Ocha, mm-hmm. and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the kinds of interests that they brought,
mm-hmm.
mainly. Although by, soon after that, by the late 1970s and the 1980s, there was also this great admiration for Japanese technology.
Mm-hmm.
Students would say, well, you know, I have all these, this Sony electronic equipment, I drove a Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
Who are these people who could make these wonderful items of technology? I want to know the people better.
Mm-hmm. So, and now, this year also, more than 10 students will go to Japan through this program.
Right.
So, yeah, more students and Alex also, they learn Japanese language and they go to Japan. But they said, why is it... not so many Japanese Japanese students I didn't see in Illinois. The number is less, getting less than before.
Yeah, it seems to have gone down, starting 10 or 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure why.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the 1970s, there were something like 200 Japanese here.
Mm-hmm.
Students and, of course, quite a number of visiting faculty and researchers mm-hmm. and whatnot. They were not all
mm-hmm.
students.
When you set up the Illinois program, at that time, what difficulties did you have to set up this program? You have some difficulties or something or favorite things?
Well,
good memories? Or
there were some interesting things that happened. Overall, I should say, first of all, of course, the administration would not have, though we had people in favor of it in the administration, would not have gone ahead with it if the Asian studies faculty had not been very strongly in favor of it, which they were in general. But professors are very defensive of their own little specialties.
Mm-hmm.
So within the Japan studies faculty, and we must have had about a dozen people by then, we had more than we have now.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big Japan studies program by the 1970s.
Yeah, now.
There was an interesting split, a kind of yes but attitude. Yes, I'm in favor of a student program in Japan, but for people in sociology and economics and political mm-hmm. science, mm-hmm. people whose interests were in present day Japan, they said, but our program should be in Tokyo, of course,
because uh-huh.
that's the center of mm-hmm. economics and politics and, mm-hmm. and the mass media and so on. And the people in history, art, religion, and whatnot said, yes, we want a program in Japan, but it should be in Kyoto, because that, of course, is the center of the Japanese heritage. And more, in addition, and very understandably, many of them said, look, Illinois is a huge research university supported by the state. Our counterpart university in Japan should also be a huge research university, which mm-hmm. would mean a national university. It was a reasonable position, but they said, but you know, Konan is a small private mm-hmm. university. Good as it is, it doesn't have the vast array of research institutes and degree programs mm-hmm. that we have. Isn't that going to be an unbalanced relationship?
Mm-hmm.
So that worry had to be overcome also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but more than 600 students, they already gone to Japan through this program.
Well, I'm amazed. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed because in those years when we were trying to get the program set up, one of the arguments I made to the administration at that time was, look, the world is going to change. Probably in 10 years, it'll have changed so much we won't even want these kinds of student programs. Even if it lasts only 10 years, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no real expectation that it would last all that long. I mean, I've been amazed mm-hmm. that the program has gone on now almost 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
We must have done something right.
Yeah. And each person maybe learned something from the Japan and they come back to America. And I think they affect the other person to say about Japan. They did a good exchange program, I think.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I can't give you numbers, but I know some percentage of those students have gone on in Japanese studies or Asian studies or related fields. Mm-hmm. Others, even though they've gone into management careers and things like that, have maintained their Japan interest. I probably should mention, too, that it's not only been a student exchange program. We have had any number of faculty members from mm-hmm. Illinois who've gone to Konan and from Konan who have come to Illinois.